Today on Real Radio.
As of today, China is the most populous Christian nation on earth. China. There are more believers in China than any other nation on earth. And what do we see yesterday in the news? That persecution against Christians in China is at an all-time high and rising. And yet the church is growing in China. Listen, that's awesome. Amen to that. What a great testimony.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. Thank you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called All About the Future Things, Part 2, continues in a new series called You Need to Know, taking the time and making the effort to confirm and reconfirm what we believe, why we believe it, and what difference it makes in our lives. Our eternal God has invaded this world and has given us the most incredible book known to man, the Bible. When God began to speak to us, He did so often by foretelling the future. The Bible is unique from all other books, and that it's the only book that can boast of its prophecies that have already been fulfilled. It stands the test of time and will continue to remain accurate as time goes on. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Jesus warns us in the book of Matthew that near the end, false prophets and false teachings will come to deceive the people. There will be global pandemics and violence, while persecution against the Christ followers will increase. But believers can take heart. Christ promised He has prepared a place for us in heaven with Him. And now, in His message called All About the Future Things, Part 2, here is pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He is holding this generation on alert to know that He could come at any time. We're to be knowing that. But that event triggers a whole scenario of end time events under the banner, under the canopy, second coming, that culminates in the physical return of Jesus to Jerusalem to establish His kingdom. You know that. At the end of the Battle of Armageddon. Very interesting. Keep that in mind as we look. So mark it down. First argument we look at regarding the definition of the second coming is that it's a two-staged event. Will you write that down? You'll never understand Bible prophecy and future events and eschatology if you don't understand under that canopy is a two-staged event. So number one, mark it if you would, that the rapture of the church is a physical deliverance of the church from earth. It's a deliverance. Why? Because the second phase, the second stage, is God's wrath being poured out upon earth in His physical return. Mark it down. One is a deliverance of God's people. The other one is a judgment against the world, of an unbelieving world. One is imminent, any moment. The other one is 7 years in duration, God's wrath. One has no prophetic precursors needed. The other one has hundreds of prophetic precursors needed. It should never be confused. We can argue about timing, but we should never be confused about the events of the second coming. Matthew 24, verse 1. We're indebted to the disciples here. You'll see why in a moment. Matthew 24, verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came up to Him to show Him the buildings of the temple. It's funny because like He had never seen them before. In fact, they're talking to the very one who made the stones that made the temple. It's kind of cute, actually. And Jesus said to them, He blew their minds. He says, do you not see all these things? You could just see them. Yep, uh-huh, yep. Isn't it beautiful? Fantastic. Yep, that's our glory, the temple. Wow, isn't it great? Nothing like it on earth. Yeah, well, assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. I mean, what a dampening effect that had on the celebration. Jesus says, take a good look. It's all coming down. That had to shock them. Especially in light that just a few weeks later, or a week and a half later, they're going to ask Him, will you now at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus is saying, you don't get it. And so he begins speaking. And I highly encourage all of you to read Matthew chapter 24 in your leisure time today to get the full context of it all. He says to them, it's all going to be thrown down. Verse 3 says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, so he's opposite now from the temple looking at it, the disciples came to him privately, nobody else around. And they asked him three questions, church, that I do not believe they were asking of themselves. I actually believe the Holy Spirit prompted them to ask these questions because they're too brilliant. The disciples were not that smart. I mean that affectionately. Number one question, they asked Jesus, tell us, when will these things be? Isn't that the question that you have on your lips too? When will this be? When will the end come? When will heaven begin for us? When's the Lord coming back? Jesus, tell us, when will these things be? Question number one. Question number two, what will be the sign of your coming? I'm not asking you to agree with me on timing, but you must agree with Jesus and the disciples. They understood him to be coming back. Do you? Are you biblical? They know he's coming back. Now they're concerned about the timing of it all. When will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? Third question, and what of the end of the age? That's a profound question. That's Jewish speaking, the end of the age. What is the end of days? In our modern day language, it would be this. Jesus, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your return? And how does the world end? When's that going to happen? When the world comes to an end? See, I don't think they understood that question to ask. I think that was prompted by the Holy Spirit. They ask a question that Jesus sets now in a message to them that lays out future events. And this is critical. And I'll run through this quickly. You can read it later. This is amazing what Jesus said. Number one, church, we know this from history. In 70 AD, those stones that made the temple, they were knocked down by the 5th Roman Legion army under General Titus Vespasian. When he came into town to put down a Jewish uprising in 70 AD, things got out of hand like most riots do, and the temple caught fire. And the gold melted within the temple and flowed between the cracks of those great stones, and the general ordered the stones to be torn down, the gold stripped away, packaged up, and carted back to Rome with the temple artifacts. If you are an unbeliever in Bible accuracy, get in an airplane, fly to Rome, go to the forum, and you're going to see, or you can go online and look at the image. You can look at the Arch of Titus in Rome. I've been there. Arch of Titus. It's commemorating General Titus's victory. On that arch is a relief. And it has generals' armies coming out of Jerusalem, walking to Rome, and they're carrying artifacts from the temple. And one of them is the 7 lampstand menorah. By the way, still to this day, most scholars believe that 7 lampstand menorah is none other in the basement of the Vatican archives. It's never been found. The Romans recorded it as having been taken by the general's army and taken back to Rome. According to those reliefs, it's in Rome. That's pretty cool stuff. Jesus said that's going to happen, and it happened in 70 AD. So listen, skeptic, Jesus said it, it happened, so then what else did he say? When you read Matthew 24, Jesus says there's going to be false prophets and false teachers that will rise up as we get into those protracted days, those protracted millennia, 2,000 years now. Secondly, Jesus says there's going to be an increase in wars and scale of wars, global wars. Isn't that amazing that an itinerant preacher, Jesus, a carpenter, announces prophetically there's going to be global wars. Thirdly, Jesus warned that ethnic groups will be rising up against other ethnic groups. Races will fight races in wars, in communities, in cities, in countries. Next, Jesus said there's going to be profound, dangerous earthquakes, massive earthquakes, horrific famines, pestilence, diseases, incurable, and global violence. Jesus said, persecution will increase before the end. As of today, China is the most populous Christian nation on earth. China. There are more believers in China than any other nation on earth. And what do we see yesterday in the news? That persecution against Christians in China is at an all-time high and rising. And yet the church is growing in China. Listen, that's awesome. Amen to that. What a great testimony. God is reaching the Chinese people. They got that big wall. They got that big wall to keep the enemy out. God just walks right over the wall. Boom, boom, with the gospel. The Chinese are being saved. And the government's freaking out about that. And at the same time, Jesus says the gospel is going to go to the ends of the earth. How do you know the internet was going to send the gospel around the world? I mean, I'm all for missionaries, and we have our missionaries, but you can reach more people now with a tweet for Jesus around the world. Isn't that amazing? Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the prophecies of Daniel 9 would begin to come to pass. And then Jesus said that in the two-phased event of the second coming events, in that chapter, Jesus warned about being ready. And at the same time, Jesus talked about the second phase where he comes back and all of the world will see him returning and the people will mourn and lament, the book of Revelation says, when Jesus Christ returns, and they'll cry out and they'll say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. And Jesus said in that moment, every eye will see me coming all around the world. Does that mean, what does that mean? Does it mean that they'll view him through technology as he returns to Jerusalem? Or will he, in his reentry to planet Earth, will he circle the globe like a rocket coming back? I don't know. But Jesus said, every eye will see me coming, and the world will be terrified at my return. You say, that's scary. Not for the Christian. That's what this next several weeks are going to be about. You need to know where you're at in Bible prophecy. So mark this down if you would. This is probably as far as we'll get today, is stage one regarding the rapture. We have stage one, the rapture. We have stage two, the second coming to earth physically. So number one, mark it down. Stage one, the rapture of the church. All important, the rapture of the church. So in looking at this two-staged event, we mark this down. That the rapture deals with the earthly prophecies of the church coming to an end. Can you mark that down, Bible students? This is very, very simple, but it's often overlooked. That the rapture, stage one, the rapture of the church, regardless of where you place it timing-wise, this is a very fun statement I get to make. And it's not my opinion. That's why I'm so confident in saying it. I don't have much confidence in my opinion. This is the fun part about making this announcement. The rapture ends the 2,000-year commission of the church ministering on earth. The Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost and gave birth to the church. Remember that, book of Acts, chapter 2. When Jesus Christ receives the church to himself, it ends the church ministry, or what the Bible calls the church, the bride of Christ. It ends that ministry. The rapture ends the earth's ministry platform for the church. It's over. Here's the fun part about it. From the moment of the rapture, no matter where you place it, there's no more mention of the church on earth anymore. So I don't know if I believe that. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Read your Bible. Once the church is called upward, you no longer see it on the planet. It's no longer addressed. It's no longer looked at. It gets better. Are you sitting down? Watch this. The next time you do meet the church, where is she? She's in heaven. The next time the camera crew in the book of Revelation moves the camera over, the church is in heaven with Christ just before he returns in the great second coming, his physical return to earth. So you ask this question, how'd she get there? The last time we saw her, she was on earth. How does this happen? I'm glad you asked. That's what we're going to be looking at right now. Number one, Jesus introduces us to it himself. John chapter 14, verse 1. Well, listen, if we're that generation, we're going to be leaving. If we're that generation. I pray so. I pray so. I pray again today, you know. I mean, it's a nice day out there. Don't get me wrong. It's a nice day. But where we're going, Awesome. This is what Jesus said. And would you guys allow me to be a little bit sarcastic with you today? Can I do that? I don't even know why I'm asking. I do this to you anyway. Jesus said in John 14:1, check it out. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't freak out. By the way, it's where we get the word seismo. It's seismos in Greek. Don't let your heart have an earthquake. That's where we get the word seismology. Don't have an earthquake in your heart. You believe in God, believe also in me. We're the same one. In my Father's house are many mansions. Church, listen. I'm going to lay the sarcasm down pretty thick for effect. Where's the Father's house? It's in heaven. Jesus says, if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm not playing games with you, he's saying. I go. Go where? To heaven. To do what? To prepare a place for you. Where? Heaven. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, by the way, that's the guarantee. Jesus says there's going to come a time in John chapter 16, John chapter 14 as well. Jesus says it's going to be better for you that I leave. It's going to be good for you that I go. Why? Listen, what was Jesus' occupation before he's a carpenter. For 2,000 years, he's been building something in heaven. I want to see it. The Bible says he made everything in 6 days. He's had 2,000 years to prepare a place for us. It's going to be awesome, to say the least. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. Who says? Jesus says. He'll keep his word and receive you to myself. This is an awesome word. Watch. I almost wish I had a robe on right now to get the word, the meaning visually in front of you. It's to go like this, to draw you in. Imagine a little kid running to you and you have a robe and you just scoop them up in that robe and hold them tight. Jesus says, I'm going to receive you. There's going to be a generation. I'm going to receive to myself. I'm going to scoop them up. I ask you to be thinking. If the Bible talks about such an event happening imminently, I'll receive you to myself that where I am, there you may be also. A clear announcement. Friends, listen, we may differ on the placement of the rapture, but Jesus says, I'm coming, and there's going to be an event where I actually don't physically come to earth. I'm going to come and get you and take you to the place I've been preparing for you, and you're going to be with me. He's going to do that without physically touching the earth. So you're making it up. I'm not making it up. I'm actually plagiarizing. I'm quoting from, I'm paraphrasing from the Bible. And I'll prove it to you in a moment. Are you ready? She's ready. Are the rest of you ready for this? 1 Thessalonians 4. Write it down. 1 Thessalonians 4. Is what Jesus just said in John 14 biblical? Does Jesus know what he's talking about? Well, 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so the question is, do you? Even so, God will bring with those who sleep. The believer's life is always referred to as their body sleeping. Don't think for a moment this teaches soul sleep. No such doctrine in the Bible. It's referring to the body. The Christian's body looks like they're sleeping when we die. It never, by the way, refers to the unbeliever's body as sleeping. Isn't that interesting? Those who sleep in Jesus, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord that we, can you circle the word we? Silly Paul, what's wrong with him? He should have listened to the scoffers of his day. Paul believed that Christ could return in his day. He says, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Not those people who are alive and remaining. Church, did you get that? Every generation of Christians, when you read your Bible, God expects them to be watching for his return. Every one of them. And here's the encouragement. You can get all excited when you start to read books and meet people and listen to other churches or comments or made by leaders that say, Jesus isn't coming back for a long time. He may not even come back at all. Oh, again, give them a hug. Paul the Apostle said, we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and thirdly, with the trumpet of God. None of this, by the way, describes the second coming of Christ at the end of the age. This describes the rapture. And the dead, that is the dead bodies, this gets fun, in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, then we, there he is again, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. If you read Latin today, and if you have a Latin Bible, the word caught up in English and Latin is rapture. Right there. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in Jerusalem? On the Mount of Olives? Hey, listen, when Jesus Christ comes back to establish his kingdom at the end of the second coming, the Bible says his foot touches the Mount of Olives and he establishes his throne in Jerusalem. Oh, don't listen. You need to stay tuned for the next several weeks because we're going to lay out on the screens a comparison between the two events. It'll freak you out. You'll freak out. It'd be rapturous. to meet the Lord in the air and thus, look at the end of the verse 17. It sounds like John 14. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. When we talk about Jesus coming back, maybe now or maybe now, it should comfort us. We should say, yes. Oh, boy, you know, awesome, awesome. You know, think about it. No matter what, you say, Pastor, it kind of makes me nervous. Then listen, get right. Hey, when I got saved in the 70s, there was a bumper sticker. And it said, get right or get left. I thought that was cool. Anyway, I don't. Get ready. Get ready. Here's the funny thing with what I just said. Some of you are going, I don't believe he's going to come back. I want to hug you. Or if somebody says, no, I think it's metaphorically speaking. Yeah, you really think so? He's going to metaphorically come back. He's going to metaphorically blow the trumpet. He's metaphorically going to shout. Yeah, in your dreams. You're only saying that because you're not ready. No, he's coming. Remember those two heavenly witnesses said, he's coming back just like he said he would. Keep your eyes open. What a great, great, encouraging thing. So that event describes the rapture. It confirms John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Now move on to 2 Corinthians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house, what do you think Paul's talking about? Our earthly house, this tent, you could see him go like this. This earthly house, this tent, he's actually talking about the body, the believer's body. If this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God. Ooh, that sounds like Jesus talking. A house not made with hands. It's not made with human hands. Eternal in the heavens. Isn't that nice? Isn't that great? I'm appreciating that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in his message called All About the Future Things, Part 2. Hey, listen, we're so grateful that you could be with us today. And remember, weathering life's storms is easier now, knowing that we are anchored in Christ and in his promises. All About the Future Things, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called You Need to Know, a series that reveals the accuracy of the Bible and what the future holds for the Christ follower. And we will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, having a peace that passes all understanding and a calm that rises from an unshakable future and a hope comes by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Communing with the Lord begins with a conversation to spiritually sit in his presence and renew your strength. Devotions are a vital part of a Christian's life, but many of us don't quite know what that looks like. It's why Pastor Jack has devotions on his website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com and click on the devotions tab. Once there, you'll see a weekly verse along with a personal story from Pastor Jack. Soon, you'll be seeking out your own verses from the Bible and sharing your own story with the Lord about what the verses mean to you. So, check out devotions at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.